Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And we are going with another tradition of ours, having good friend Shang Peng on to kind of kickstart training camp. We're going to be looking at some of the most intriguing storylines heading into training camp and some of the questions that these Sharks have to answer as training camp gets started. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked On Sharks.
Your Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, J.D. Young, contributor at Fear the Fan and San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you, of course, for making us your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And, of course, you can see mine and Shang's smiley face on YouTube. And we have San Jose Hockey Now beat reporter, the best beat reporter in the Bay. Shang, a tradition like none other, kickstarting training camp by having a nice conversation. I think this is our third year in a row doing this now, if you can believe it.
A tradition like none other. 3 years.
3 years. So, can you believe we've gone through a very quiet offseason? Nothing happened with the Sharks. No storylines to talk about. So, yeah, it's just going to be us staring at each other for the next 30 minutes, whispering sweet nothing. No, it was a pretty crazy offseason, right? Like, this is probably the most insane offseason the Sharks have had in a long
time. It's got to be the most hectic in their history. Sorry, I ran a little late there, guys. I haven't had a podcast in a while, and so I didn't know where I put my equipment, and I had to clear some of the stuff behind me so I wouldn't have stacks of books going the wrong way and all that. So
Shang is also getting the training camp for him. You know,
exactly.
Getting ready for the season to start. Some of us, you know, we've been producing and continuing to produce. But I mean,
and like Sentry Hataka, I've gained some weight in the off season.
I'm like Eklund also put on the pounds here too. I think the biggest question, right, was of course the Brent Burns getting traded to the Hurricanes, and now Erik Karlsson is being asked to be the guy. What do you expect from Karlsson? Can we see the Erik Karlsson that the Sharks are paying a ton of money to, or at least a resemblance of that for an entire season?
I mean, let's be honest, probably not, right? Because we haven't seen it for four straight years, at least not for the entire season. But you never know, though. You know, you hope that he can stay healthy. And if he can stay healthy, he has shown, obviously, back 2018-19, I still talk with scouts, and we talk about how in that December-January stretch of that season that Erik Karlsson was arguably the best player in the world in that two-month stretch. So when people say he never did it for the San Jose Sharks, well, there is that stretch where he was indeed one of the best players in the world. And even going back to the 2019 playoffs where he averaged a point a game on essentially one leg. So it's pretty impressive.
A point a game with half a PP. So it's a yes.
And again, also too, to start last year, he got off to a pretty quick start, and through the first 30 or 40 games was one of the best offensive defensemen in the league. And so if you can somehow stitch together a season out of that, then yeah, there is some hope for that, but we just haven't seen it yet. Funny enough, in 2020-21, the COVID shortened year. Actually, Karlsson played, we forget, because that game was only 56 games. So when you look at the back of his hockey card, it says Karlsson played just 52. So then it sounds like he missed a big part of the season, but actually he played 52 of 56. But of course, that was probably the worst year of the last four. But if you get a healthy and engaged Erik Karlsson, and he can play like he did a lot at the beginning of last year, then yeah, you might have something there for the Sharks.
So how do you think this is going to work with Brent Burns not being there? Is it going to be Karlsson go nuts and then try to kind of figure out everything behind him? Or, you know, are they, I assume that he's not going to see anywhere near the minutes that Brent Burns has seen, because one, Carlson's not built that way. And two, Brent Burns is a freakish monster who can play 45 minutes a night. Nothing seems to wear him down. So how do you think the minutes are going to shake out with I mean, you basically have Carlson, Ferraro, Vlasic, and a bunch of guys that you're trying to figure out who fits where, right?
Yeah, no, it's really anybody's guess how the minutes will shake out. Bob Bugner said last year that he thought that Carlson was better in the 21-23 minute range. I don't know if that's going to cut it this year because, again, if you're the Sharks, you're looking at a potential second pairing of, let's say they put Ferraro and Carlson together, then what are we talking about? Vlasic and Šimek as your second pairing or Vlasic and Matt Benning? I mean, that's
doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
No, it doesn't, right? And so they may have no choice but to sort of overplay Carlson and Ferraro. But, of course, you don't want to do that because of Carlson's health, and you just don't want to do that to Ferraro because he's been kind of overplayed the last couple of years, arguably. But they may have no choice.
Yeah, I mean, and then I think one of the wild cards, well, two of the wild cards, you have Marcus Nudavara, who the Sharks signed, and he can have that puck moving skills, but we haven't seen a healthy version of him in the past couple of years. And then, of course, Ryan Merkley, who's kind of been that question mark since they drafted him. You're expecting him to be kind of that guy as they this season. I mean, there's really, after Carlson, like I said, there's really not guys that you can just kind of write and pen behind him. So what do you think of those two guys and their chances this year of making the Sharks or being impactful?
Making the Sharks, they both have good chances of that, but being impactful, I don't know. Obviously, there are question marks there. Nudavara played exactly one game last year. And even before that, he's not too old, so I'll give him that. So there is some hope in that sense. But even in Columbus, which was sort of seen as his the best kind of days of his career, kind of when he was an up and comer, and that's what earned him a pretty big contract from Columbus. He still wasn't a top four defenseman in terms of just minutes, usage, that sort of thing. And you know, Ryan Merkley, we've talked about a lot. Same question marks. Don't want to read too much into the rookie faceoff, but kind of the same. Looks like roughly the same Ryan Merkley in terms of you get the highs and the lows, and maybe too many of those lows to really cut it as a top four Angel defenseman at least. So I you know, the 2022-23 Sharks, we have no choice. So.
Eric Carlson, we have no choice. Sorry, buddy. Really quickly, do you think this is this going to be Vlasic's swan song for the Sharks?
I don't know. I think it depends on how the year goes. You know, like I was pretty adamant before this offseason that I thought that the Sharks were going to buy him out. Not that it would be a good buyout. Because they just didn't have a lot of ways to create cap space. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the direction of the Sharks was they were going to, after they re-signed Tomas Hertl, that they were going to make a concerted effort to try to win some games, which means, you know, bringing in new players and using some cap space. So they didn't do that. You know, they kind of opted for kind of a middle of the road approach, really not that different in some ways than what Doug Wilson has done the last couple of years, kind of because they don't really have a choice in a way. They don't want to, you know, put themselves in a cap hell, paying dead cap money to somebody who's not playing for them, like a Vlasic if you buy him out, but can't move the contract and the guy's not getting any better. And so what can you do? You just sort of write it out with him. And so I guess we'll see how the year goes. You know, if there are kind of reasons for the Sharks to think that they should put more of a effort or emphasis on trying to spend some money, put some good money after good, and try to be more competitive next year. Like, let's say, you know, William Eklund steps in, he's great. Thomas Borrello steps in, he's great. You know, then you start to think, okay, maybe we do need to clear that cap space out. But if it's another kind of a mediocre-ish year and maybe nobody really steps up, none of the young players really emerge to really take an NHL job or to define themselves as legitimate NHL players, then maybe you just kind of write it out, just sort of like the Sharks kind of are this year.
All right, before we continue and we get more into these young players such as William Eklund and Thomas Bortolo. Do need to take a quick break, talk to you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. You guys know BetOnline is your number one source for football betting information this year. So find out the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles on analysis of every game you can find. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for your sports wager information, from live betting up to minute scores with every sport out there. Live betting, super fun. If you were smart, you put some money on the Dolphins when they were down big to the Ravens, and you're probably feeling really good about yourself. So they're the fastest and easiest way to check out your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, nice shirt, JD.
Oh, yes. I know we have matching shirts. All right, we should have coordinated a little bit better. yes. So William Eklund and Bortolo, how long do you think the veterans can kind of hold these guys off? We saw, you know, Mike Greer was very deliberate about trying to bring in established NHL guys, you know, to try to make, I don't want to say make the path harder for the prospects, but they have to earn it. Like, you have to kind of meet these milestones. And that's something that the Sharks didn't really do before, and they didn't really have the capacity to do just because of how tight their cap space was, you know.
Doug, no, Wilson, they had the capacity to do it. I'm going to argue that point. Oh.
But anyway, they chose not to do it. But, you know, that they asked their young guys to kind of really take on roles that they maybe weren't really ready for. And we saw, you know, the Daniel Yertakens of the world, unfortunately, get kind of chewed up and spit out because they just weren't really ready for it. But how long do you think some of these guys can hold off some of these prospects like Eklund and Bortolo?
Well, this is the one thing that I did like about what Mike Greer did this offseason. I like adding this layer of veterans, competent, established NHL players. Sure, they couldn't afford to get a first-line forward like a Philippe Forsberg or a top-four defenseman. They couldn't get that free agency. Just didn't have the cap space for that. Or if they did, they would be basically spending all their cap space on one guy and, you know, nobody else. And so I do like what Mike has done in that way. Speaking to the past with Doug Wilson, I felt like Doug Wilson's approach was a little bit more of put some crap against the wall and see what sticks. And you mentioned the cap being an issue, but you know, you can look back on this. I said this 2 years
ago. No, we've argued about this. Yes.
You know, before the 2020-21 offseason, the pandemic had created a lot of free agency bargains and the kind of players that would have fit, that would have been good enough to be easily on a Sharks second or third line. I'm not saying that this was going to get the Sharks to the playoffs. I get that. But at least, though, you don't force players that really have no business being in that position to play in a, you know, Dylan Gambrell's the most classic example. Oh, actually, that whole third line center, right? Started with Noah Gregor and it became Dylan Gambrell. And neither had any business playing 15 minutes a night as a centerman. And so, and I don't think that experience really helped either guy out. I don't know. It's hard to say, you know, there are probably guys who are kind of aided by getting thrown into the fire like that. And so I don't want to say that you can't get better that way. But if you look at, and I counted, the Sharks had 29 NHL debuts in the last 3 years. And how many legit NHLers came out of there? Mario Ferraro.
And I know Gregor, maybe, I would give.
Yeah. No, maybe Noel Gregor and maybe Nikolai Knyazhov if he, you know, ever plays again.
Ever comes back. Yeah.
But, you know, those are just maybe guys, because Noel Gregor looked pretty good last year as sort of a fourth liner type, right? But he could take a step back, you know, this coming year easily.
His
shooting
percentage could miraculously get worse.
Could turn from a 5 to a 2. So turn around upside down. So, So really, only Ferraro has been a, you know, surefire, like he would be on any NHL team, you know, maybe not the high, not a first pairing defenseman on any NHL team.
But no, he's an NHL player.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But that's the only one. That really is the only one. I looked at it and, you know, all the names that people like gave a couple games to, hey, maybe he'll stick. Chekovich, Blickfeld. You're talking, you mentioned, we could throw, there's 28 other names besides Mario Ferraro. And I don't know. I'm not sure if it would have made that much of a difference in the long run. Sure, that's what people will point out. Like, would it, yeah. you know, would it have put the Sharks in the playoffs? You know, the big example I've used over the years, of course, just because I thought the Sharks had some interest in it. This is what I was told was Connor Sheary, which I know you guys have argued about. And yeah, no, Connor Sheary isn't putting anybody in the playoffs. But, you know, a few of those types signing for the minimum or close, which they were signing for in that offseason. And so anyway, closing, I guess, wrapping up the Doug Wilson era, I don't really blame him for the offseason after the 2019 postseason, because the cap was tight then, and people didn't foresee a pandemic, and guys like Jonas Donskoy were making $3 million a year, right? That's what he made that offseason from Colorado, right? There's no way Donskoy would have made that the next offseason, where Connor Sheary signed for the veterans minimum. And so that was an opportunity that no one expected. Obviously not a good thing, because obviously of everything surrounding the pandemic, but that was a situation where there were a lot of veteran bargains out there, and you could have filled these roles and prevented guys who really had no business being in the NHL from being there. And they didn't do that. And the Greer era is sort of symbolized by him walking in and, you know, not qualifying Jonathan Dolan and buying out Rudolph Balzers, and it just sort of tells you what he thought of those players and kind of that approach. And and then he quickly obviously filled those spots with sort of more his type of player.
Yeah, I mean, the Doug Wilson era, at the end of the Doug Wilson era, unfortunately, you know, it's there's the argument too that, like, with some of those guys who just were never going to be NHL players. And who knows if they had gotten better development along the way. And, you know, I mean, we see what the Sharks thought of their own development process because of how they ripped down the whole studs this offseason, you know.
Sure, yeah.
It's, you know, basically it's all new people or new people in new roles. They really wanted to try to focus on it. And I think now they actually have legitimate prospects to actually focus on, not trying to take anything away from, you know, Dylan Gambrell and Sasha Chmielewski and et cetera, all these guys. But, like, you know, Sasha Chmielewski was a 6th-round pick. Like, who knows, maybe? But it's like, how often do those guys hit? I mean, yeah, I know you have your Kevin LeBancs and your Joe Pavelskis, but for every one of those, there's thousands of guys that just never even get a chance, type of thing. But now they actually have legitimate prospects, and I think they really needed to focus on, okay, what does our development actually look like? And are we putting our guys in the right position to succeed? And I think it'll be interesting to see how they treat Eklund and Bortolo. Mm-hmm. And I know I've heard the arguments with Eklund was like, well, he needs to play in the AHL, right? And get used to playing in them. Guess what? He's been playing against men for the past 2 years in the SHL. And I know he hasn't put up great stats and stuff like that, but it's not like he's going from playing a bunch of teenage kids to playing in the NHL. And I think, honestly, at the end of the day, he's going to be one of your 6 best forwards, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask, so I did, as usual, go off on a tangent, and I answered the question before. So Eklund, actually, I predict still that I believe he will be on an opening night roster. There are things to iron out with his game.
He's 19, going to be 20.
Well, no,
of course.
Nothing to do with that. No, yeah. I mean, I'm all for, like, make the guys earn it. I've said that again consistently over the last couple of years. So I do like what Greer has done there, and I want Eklund and Bortolo, quote unquote, to earn it. It's just more in my prediction that I think Eklund will adapt a little faster than Bortolo. In part because positional, you know, it's going to be a little easier for Eklund to adapt on the wing. That's for one thing. Also, too, you know, Eklund has made clear gains in his body and his frame that I'm not as certain that we've seen with Bortolo. It's not as obvious with Bortolo, at least. I'm sure that there have been improvements this offseason, but it's not quite as obvious with Bortolo, in part because Bortolo is playing in the World Championships and in the World Junior Championships and not concentrating as much on that. And Bortolo said himself, you know, asked him what his sort of playing weight is right now. He said, oh, it's about the same as last year. That's sort of what he was trying to do, trying to maintain. That was sort of his goal. But anyway, I think that both in their NHL stints last year had issues with, you know, typical rookie stuff, trying stuff that they shouldn't try when they're breaking out of the defensive zone, the kind of stuff that gets you benched on a better team. But my prediction is that Eklund will adapt a little faster and maybe play ball a little. You know, I think Bortolo might need a little time in the AHL just to sort of learn maybe what he can and cannot do at the pro level. And I think Eklund, on the other hand, of course he'll also make mistakes, but I think though that I predict that he will adapt a little faster, and so that's why I do have Eklund penciled in and my guess, and Bortolo out. Also, going back to their positions, the Sharks. Not to say that the Sharks are deep at center, but. The Sharks have Couture and Hurdle as their sort of skill centermen, so those spots are taken. And then that leaves Bortolo really competing for the third line center spot, right? Whereas Eklund is really competing with, I mean, for six wing spots. And the only really given ahead of him is really just Timo Meier. I mean, Barabanov had a nice season last year. You assume that LeBanc, you hope that LeBanc can come back to form. And so both those guys have resumes better than William Eklund, but I don't think it would shock anybody if William Eklund was the Sharks' second best winger on opening night. Not predicting it, but it's possible. Whereas, it's hard to see Bortolo, leaping Couture and Hurdle by opening night.
All right, before we finish up with Shang, just want to take a quick break, let you guys know about Locked On NHL. Thank you guys, of course, for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts, and of course on YouTube as well. Make sure you guys go check out Locked On NHL. When you guys are done with this one, they're doing every Thursday. They have power rankings. Actually, they just did the coaches' power rankings.
Where did David Quinn end up there?
He did not make the top 10. I think they put up that graphic for the top 10, but yeah,
there's a chance for top 15.
We'll see. Check out the Locked On NHL show if you want to find out where David Quinn ranks in the amongst the top coaches. You can find Locked On NHL wherever you get podcasts, and of course on YouTube as well. All right, so I think the other kind of big thing is big kind of questions is how does this bottom six kind of flush out, right? Because there it feels like there's like 15 guys who could potentially make the Sharks bottom six, you know, just in no particular order. Luke Kunin, Oscar Lindblom, Nick Bonino, Nico Sturm, Steven Lorenz, Noah Gregor, Matt Nieto, Jeffrey Vail, Jonah Gadovich, Evgeny Svechkov, Jasper Weatherby, Bortolo, Scott Reedy.
even Eklund, you know, Eklund could be a third line winger and still that's still a good role on a team for him, I think so.
But how do you think, and among those guys, basically it's Eklund, Bortolo, Reedy, and Weatherby who are still are waivers exempt. Yep. So I think there's going to be a lot of Mike Greer hoping guys get through when we actually get to the start of the season. But how do you kind of picture all this shaking out to start the season?
Well, I think the third line center battle will be interesting because I think it'll be a question of whether or not Nick Bonino can hack it once again, or maybe Nico Sturm, you know, a bit younger. He hopes that he has a bit more offensive upside. The Sharks hope too that he has a bit more offensive upside to his game. I will say in sort of Bonino's favor or defense, you know, last year Bonino was playing third line mostly with Andrew Cogliano and Matt Nieto, and Cogliano and Nieto
offensive juggernauts.
You know, great penalty killers, but at this point in their career, you know, no business being on a third line. Cogliano in his heyday was a terrific third liner, but you know, that was a few years ago. And so with the sort of proliferation of sort of players that Greer has brought, kind of decent NHL types or guys with maybe a little more upside to their games, you're hoping here, but you know, can a Lorenz or a Gregor show a little more offensive upside than they have in years past? Could Bonino find chemistry with or fit in with a Kunin or a Lindblom? Or, you know, even Eklund or LeBanc, if they're pushed back again. You know, Bonino, LeBanc did not work out last year. You know, what the Sharks tried last year, that kind of made sense though, right? In terms of just they did try to build up the third line last year with Bonino and LeBanc. That's how they started last year off at the third line. Did not work out. So basically if you can get Bonino better wingers, kind of actually like the Couture problem, right? You get, yes. get these guys better wingers. Maybe they still got, a bit more game left than sort of their stats suggest to you at first.
Yeah, I'm curious to see with Bonino, because when they moved him to Eklund's wing at the end of the season, he actually produced really well. I think he had five goals in his last eight games.
Yeah, Couture's wing, yeah.
Yeah, on Couture's wing. And like you had the children of Bordalo, Balsers, and Gregor. That was a really fun line to watch. I mean, I know they got very sheltered with a lot of offensive starts and stuff like that, but it was still a really fun line to watch. But you wonder if Bonino's center days are almost there, if they're almost gone, if the Sharks are going to have to kind of play him out of necessity until Bortle is ready to maybe make that step in as that third line, and then you move Bonino up to Couture's line if they haven't really found that winger to go with Couture this year. Because, I mean, like we've talked about before, where it's probably going to be a rotating – if you're assuming the first line stays the same of a Hurdle, Timo, Barabanov, and then if Eklund makes the team and it's Eklund, Couture, and whoever is in David Quinn's favor, and then you kind of trying to fill out the pieces from there, it might make sense if once Bortolo is ready and if the Sharks are maybe starting to kind of fall out of the playoff race, move Bonino up there, let Bortolo kind of get a taste of the third line center with a Noah Gregor and, you know, Oscar Lindblom or whoever else you want to.
How about a Bonino as a Bortolo's winger? How about that?
There we go. At some point, Logan Couture's like, no more children. Please put Nick Bonino with me.
But, you know, a Bonino, Bortolo, Gregor third line sounds fun. And the parts maybe kind of fit there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you let Gregor go do Gregor stuff and go be fast and start the forecheck. You let Bortolo kind of create, and then you let Nick Bonino kind of be defensively responsible when things might go south. And, you know,
he can score some dirty goals. Right? Yeah.
So, that kind of makes sense. So potentially.
Oh, no, we're talking ourselves into it again. No. Hey, training camp.
All right, Shang, I'll let you. What is the one thing you're looking forward to as training camp gets here? Is it actually just being in the new Tech CU arena, or what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to being in Berlin and Prague. That's going to be exciting.
You're going?
Yeah. So after that, I'm not sure. It might be all downhill for the season. but we'll see though. Yeah.
Yes, that's going to be. I know. I brought it up to the bosses, and they couldn't say no fast enough. And by bosses, I mean my wife. She said no as fast as she could. So, Shang. Where can the people find you, and what maybe a tease of what you got coming out next?
Sure. You can find me at Shang_Pang and all my work at San Jose Hockey Now and at NBC Sharks. I have an article upcoming for NBC Sharks. Actually, the five things that need to happen for the Sharks to make the playoffs. It took me a long time to write. And
is it just say the Oilers, the Flames, the Kings, and the Canucks are all relegated? Is that it? Are
they
all
basically in my British Columbia and Alberta fall into the ocean, and so then that leaves the Sharks competing with the Ducks for a play. Oh, actually, they still might miss then.
I think they're going to be one of the worst five. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think they're going to be one of the five worst teams, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I know that I've been a pretty negative talking about it, but actually I like what Greer has done. I like the players he signed, and I would be, if they had kept Brent Burns, and let's remember it was Burns that wanted to leave. So,
yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah,
fair
so this thing, yes. not so. Yeah, again, people use it as, oh, the Sharks are rebuilding. I don't really see that, because if Burns wanted to stay,
they still have yet to say the word rebuilding. They said we might take a step back, but we've not heard the word rebuilding. But.
Yeah, if Burns wanted to stay, he would have stayed. And if he played at the level he did last year, and then you've kind of filled out the forward group a little bit, you know, then you actually could have kind of sold me a little bit. Yeah, I could squint on that one. But obviously losing Burns' minutes and not bringing in anybody clear-cut to fill that out is troublesome. And, you know, everything depending on what's that poem? Everything depends on the red wheelbarrow. Everything depends on Erik Karlsson's groin. I don't know. I don't. That hasn't been an enviable position in the last few years. So hope it works out. You know, I love watching Karlsson at his best, and we did see a little bit of it last year. And so hope we do see more of that. But yeah, that's the big sort of in terms of I guess my lack of optimism with the Sharks. I just don't know who they're going to get to play those big defensive minutes, and especially if, you know, Karlsson goes down, or if Ferraro is sort of overmatched, which he sort of has been the last couple of years in some ways.
Buckle in, guys. Sharks 2022-2023.
Kaapo Kakkonen and Vezina. That's going to be your best chance to make the playoffs.
All right. That'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow to kind of recap what happens the first day of training camp. Make sure you guys are following Shane for all your news. He will be there, boots on the ground. Very jealous that you're getting to go to Prague. But, I mean, you know, that's one of the perks of being a beat writer, right, is getting to go to Prague. So, you can find the show on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, over at Locked on Sharks. Wherever you get podcasts, you can listen, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey. Make sure you guys subscribe on YouTube. You can see, you know, I got some stuff going on in the background. Shang's got his nice display back there. So make sure you guys are checking us out there. And again, be back tomorrow with the recap of the first day of training camp. We are here, buddy. We made it. Bye, friends.